This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I want to talk about something that is going to become an everyday part of our life. It's AI, certainly. And part of the budget was the government announcing this $50 million AI Safety Institute. And I guess that's the first starts of investment into advanced or nefarious AI systems. In other words, like knowing what they are and dealing with them. They're going to put another $5.1 million towards an office for AI and data commissioner. And I guess they're going to create a whole new bureaucracy to enforce all the Artificial Intelligence and Data Act. Now, when I read that, all I hear is years and years of bureaucracy and nothing getting done at a time when AI is becoming so advanced, like literally they will be making pigs fly within the next 6 months. Or in the case that we're going to talk to, it's the deep fakes for porn. You know, those are happening all the time, maybe a little crude right now. But at any given time, someone can take your image, someone else's image, my image, and decide to make a deep fake porn. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it in this country because we don't do anything. And then we look to our friends across the pond, and England and Wales are set precedent and actually start to protect victims of this particular kind of gender-based harassment and also abuse. But why are we not doing anything? Let's ask someone who might know. Mohit Rajan is a tech and media consultant with ThinkStartCA.ca. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Alex.
All right. So, I'm not surprised that government's reactive. I mean, it just tends to be. But we've been talking about AI now for quite some time, and we still don't see any urgency, certainly from this side of the border, to do anything about it. What's the holdup?
I think the big thing here is that artificial intelligence is the buzzword right now, and it's a little bit all too encompassing because technically it's just the modernization of a bunch of computer systems that need to be advanced at this point. We are not in a situation where we're doing or recreating anything. We're just accelerating our technical innovation within this country. And yes, unfortunately, $2.4 billion sounds like such a big amount of money. But when you think about the transformation that is needed ahead of us, we need everything from computing power to farming power in this country. And so there's a lot of headlines that come with these numbers, and that's problematic in some senses because it's misleading. We don't know where the money is going to be properly allocated. Will we be able to retain, you know, the right people we need to actually create this stuff? There's a lot of unanswered questions, but a definite start.
Yeah, I mean, I look to ArriveCan and I say, well, if they can't make an app for 80 grand without it costing 60 million, then we might be a little screwed in this country on AI. But the concern being, I mean, it's already in place. It's already being used. We've got an election that could be any time between now and 18 months from now. And the things that they can do with it, I mean, there was a recent scam with the prime minister selling Bitcoin. It wasn't him, but a lot of people got fooled by it, right? So even the crude stuff is catching people now. But the fact is, other countries are starting to move on the really damaging things, like the sexual stuff that you know, you can manipulate. But there just doesn't seem to be any kind of urgency to get these things in place in this country. And at the pace they're going, I'm concerned it's too little too late.
Very interesting point, because you point out something that is a problem within the actual technology. So yes, deepfake technology is one of those things that everybody on their phone in the next update is going to be able to actually create on their own. And the problem is, you know, we have a younger generation that might think it's funny to see Yoda doing something, you know, but that Yoda would normally do and pass it around their school and then eventually get in trouble for it. You know, and that's not even to go into the whole idea of deep fakes and teens and the risks, et cetera. The problem, Alex, is that in itself is the burden of the messenger, you know, the apps, the social media companies who have to regulate. You know, where do we stop and say, hey, yes, you're a victim. Where do you go? How do you start?
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't even know the process in this country to actually reprimand anyone.
Yeah, well, it's very difficult. I mean, there are lawyers out there who will go after people online, you know, for nefarious comments and that. But again, there's so much out there. And where would you even start? Most people won't have the means or the time to go through this. But, you know, the other area is people will argue, well, what about my charter rights? I've got to be able to express myself and I've got to be able to say whatever I say, which is great. But there's got to be some barriers here, right? Some guardrails. And they're just not here. And my concern is by the time we get it in place, like the damage is just, it's just too late.
It's interesting because what we are referring to, just for the listeners, is just that, you know, the European Union and England are coming together to create a law that actually protects people and makes it illegal, right, for deep fake technology to be used and pornographic material without consent. And we should be looking to Europe more within this country because they're setting not only ground rules for deep fakes, but even what actual social media apps can do to track people. The issue there is right now they're very much in the early stages of being able to even regulate where the technology is coming from. Like Alex, what I said to you is that, you know, you and I can trade out source open source code and create a deepfake of anything that we feel like and think it's fun, but it could be nefarious in other cases. So
you could, I couldn't. I'd be utterly. You wouldn't want to see what I create. Having said this, but I would point out then, if the European countries are doing this, isn't this something that all the countries should be doing together? Because collectively, they have a lot more power and a lot more say and a lot more universality than doing it kind of whack-a-mole.
Yeah, you make a great point. And if there was nothing learned by how social media was, call to action over the past 5 years, it should be this, is that we can't do this with artificial intelligence. We have to have a global set of guardrails that actually protects against people in the exact same way. We can't have human rights be sacrificed for digital acceleration. I do think that this is a start to have Canada saying that we are investing in this, but it's also a misnomer to think that we're anywhere near where we need to be with this technology.
Boy, oh boy, what a world. When do you think, Mohit, this is going to come into full force? Like, when are we going to start to really see AI messing with us?
Well, I think what has to happen urgently is that the regulators, et cetera, need to be at the table with product designers. So we should not be having people collecting data and organizing artificial intelligence products in our country on the data of Canadians without our government knowing and people knowing. And I think that's the first thing. We've got to protect against cyber risk and protect the data of the country. And then from there, we'll start to see those products actually feel a little bit more secure about how we use them in our lives. That's basically it. You know, Alex, we are going to see facial recognition at the airport just as quickly as we're going to be able to pay for things with our face at a coffee shop very soon. Is that all AI necessarily that's been generated in the last year? No, but it's technology that's coming. So we have to be prepared for what we're ready for. I mean, prepared for what we feel comfortable using.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Let's hope. I'm not too confident. Mohit, we'll talk again. Thank you.
Okay, Alex, take care.
There you go. That's Mohit Rajan, who's with thinkstart.ca. But again, no one even talks about it here, right? No one talks about it here. By the time we get something in place, it'll just be either outdated or it'll be toothless.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.